Hello and greetings, everybody.
Hello, Sister Saints and everyone.
It is Sister Amen with Brother Tupo. Sorry, I mixed that up. What do you think of that, Sister Amen?
Oh, I just go along with it.
You could be first. I want to serve you in that way. We're supposed to serve each other.
We are.
Hope everybody's doing good today. We had a really good day.
Uh-huh.
We had to travel. Beautiful day to travel.
Oh, everything just looks so crisp and clear.
We've had a lot of smoke in the area from fires and things, and everything seemed to clear out.
Yeah,
it was nice. Beautiful, and we gave out the gospel all over on the way. A lot of rest stops, gas stations, things like that. And then we got to where we were going, and we eventually met with a young brother. We broke bread with him and got to spend some time with him, so that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And today was the day that the sister saint we know finally arrived and landed.
Right.
Was that a joyous time, Sister Amen?
It was, because I was watching her flight from the moment she took off from her homeland until you can watch it live.
Yep.
You can watch the plane live.
It was awesome.
Except for a little bit of sleeping last night. I missed some of that, but all the rest of it, I was watching over her to make sure she knew we cared.
She's with her new family now. She's with the saints, and she's going to thrive there, and all of the believers, we had a gathering today and online, and everybody's just excited and thanking the Lord for what he's done, and we're just so thankful to put that part behind and then move on to ministry and growing together and edifying and glorifying God together. It's an awesome thing.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 7:21, thou art called, be a servant. That's what this young woman was, a servant. Care not for it, but if thou mayest be free, use it rather. So Paul said, if you could be set free, go for it. And so she was set free, and we're rejoicing in that. So that's an awesome thing.
Amen. And I have something that I was sharing with her too. Talking about how God will always give us what we need right when we need it. And it made me think of this. Exodus 14:21-23. Talk about a whole bunch of trust as they were fleeing Egypt. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it made me think about it. I told her, I said, you went over the sea. And that's like a barrier between you and them.
Amen.
And so I was thinking about, because we know God put the water back down over the top of their enemies.
Right.
And so the children of Israel were able to go forward. And so,
I don't know. The barrier of water, Yeah, because she's from Australia. We're out in the middle of an island. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, the water is definitely a barrier.
Yeah, so think about that, sisters. You know, when you're going through times of trouble and stuff, maybe not just getting away from something or whatever,
right.
But the Lord will do what you need right then, right when you're putting your foot right where it needs to be.
Yeah.
He'll do what you need, but
he
doesn't always do it way ahead, so you can watch and trust. You got to trust him right at that very last
Amen.
Second.
Yeah. Trust in his will.
Yeah, praise God.
Trust in his will. I got an email today. Wow, this is a serious, sobering thing. I got an email today from a young man who I've met several times out street preaching. Him and I have been emailing. He wants a Bible study. He wants to draw close. And he sent me an audio. He sent me an audio of me talking to his father. It's from our own website. I didn't even know this was his father. And he sent me an email of me talking to this man. And his father, 4 months after I talked to him, died. He was camping in the back of his truck, and he left a heater going, and it killed him. And so Sister Amen and I sat, and we listened to this audio of this man, me talking to him. And I had gone over the gospel with him, and then Sister Amen brought my phone out, and then him and I were standing there talking about a lot of Bible topics. I don't know, Sister Amen, what did you think about when you're hearing that? I'm just going to share. The thing that hit me, listening to a dead man's voice. He's gone. He's in eternity. And I'm talking to him, it made me realize how serious and how sober-minded is witnessing that we do. I know it is, but hearing a dead man's voice and knowing I got to talk to him about the gospel, it just makes what we do so, it's so important. It's so, It's right on the edge of eternity. We talked to people about the eternity, and they can go out and die and go into eternity. I don't know. It's pretty mind-boggling.
It is.
Humbling.
Yeah, definitely. I remember while we were listening to it, I could picture this man.
I could too.
I remembered what he wore, where we were parked.
That's something.
And yeah, for some reason, we don't remember everybody like that. Oftentimes we do, but I just remember this man because it was a very interesting, unique kind of conversation. And I guess I was thinking, you know, sometimes we talk about how witnessing may be for the person you're witnessing to, or it could be for somebody else that may hear it later, or you never know. And he did, I guess I'm not sure how much to say.
Yeah, I don't want to go into too much detail because I'm helping this young man, so I don't want to go into it too much. But it was just sobering to hear this, and I know obviously it's a wound for him. His father passed on. And just I hope that encourages all you people that do street ministry that the person you're speaking life into may need it real soon. And so take it serious. Yeah. Be diligent about it because eternity is waiting right at the doorstep for any one of us.
Right.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah, and the messages, you give it to them, somebody else hearing it, it might be for them
Amen.
Too.
So. Amen. Yeah, so that was kind of a sobering call. I'm glad he shared it with me, and I'm looking forward to helping this young man go deep in Scripture. I'm so sorry for his loss.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he's in my life and that I can help him. Today on the brother's call, or on our gathering, we talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about the armor of God. We talked about various other topics. I talked about the removing of idols. And I won't go into detail, but I told the brothers about how I removed an idol of someone that was close to me that needed it removed, even though they didn't know they needed it removed. And I took these steps and let's just say I cut it out and got rid of this idol. So, and we talked about how all of us in our lives, anything that's an idol, taking the Lord's place, taking up more time, taking up the focus, needs to be cut out, ripped out, plucked out. I appreciate what our young brother Kuo said. He was talking about something that he struggled with. And he said, man, he said, I did everything I could to get rid of it. I smashed stuff. I broke stuff. I ripped it out, threw it out, tossed it in the garbage. He had the right approach. I know you still got to get it out of yourself. That's true. But you take what's feeding it into yourself and get it gone.
Right.
And he did that. And so we talked about removing idols, and I think it was pretty good. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering. One of the brothers taught on Armor of God, and then we talked about a bunch of different topics. Yeah, Sister Amen.
I was going to share something on idols.
Yeah.
Made me think of this. Exodus 32:20, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it into powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it.
Ouch.
Just an example of what to do with idols. And look at that. He removed that idol.
Yeah.
What'd he make them do
with
it? He did.
He ground it to powder and made them drink it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was also thinking, you know, sure seems to be God can do anything, but it looks to us that we've seen God remove idols out of people's lives by death, like parents and things. You know, we've seen people who have been so clinging or stumbled.
Yep.
Maybe they weren't necessarily an idol, but it was stumbling them, so it could have been bordering on either one.
Right.
And in the perfect timing, they've died and been removed from people's lives to set them free. And we've
Absolutely.
Known that from many different times too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want idols in our lives,
no,
sisters.
No, we don't.
And if the Lord takes it away, don't cry over it.
No.
Whatever kind of idol it was, whether it was living or not.
Yeah, don't lament over those things.
Don't lament over it, no.
Idols are a serious thing. He's a jealous God. And anything that takes up our time, our focus, our attention needs to go. And oftentimes these things are sinful, carnal, fleshly things. They always are. And they need to be plucked out, as we were talking about. So,
right.
Yeah, we talked about that. That was pretty good stuff down on the Ecclesia Gathering area. Anything else, Sister Amen?
Yeah, a brother said something. I don't think it was on the Ecclesia or whatever when we met up with him tonight. And he was saying, I overheard you guys while I was doing something. And he said that it's good to get yourself in a rhythm.
Yeah.
Or a pattern, especially for new believers.
Yep.
And I thought that was pretty interesting coming from a new believer.
Yeah, he's brand new.
Yeah. And it just, he said it just kind of helps people get past their flesh
Yep.
and into the walking in the spirit more. Because I don't know about you, sisters, but when you're first born again, there's still a whole lot of flesh that you got to fight
through. Sanctification's
got
to take place.
Yeah, you got the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't wipe out everything right at once. So you got to put things into place that can help you kill that flesh, because half the time you can't even see the flesh you're trying to kill.
Amen.
Because you kill one part of it and you realize there's a mountain of it left that you got to keep going at.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And yeah, that same young brother talked about how he likes to start the day out right away in scripture or prayer or edification from the other brothers, from their websites or what they're reading and teaching. And that gets his day going in the right direction. And what he found was it doesn't give the occasion for the flesh to rise up. And once you don't let the flesh rise up and you hold it down, you can have control. But it's when you put the things of God down, you let the flesh rise up. Now you're playing catch up and it's hard to put it down again. So keep it under control. And always be walking in the Spirit, and that's how you slowly over time starve him out, crucify him, get rid of him to the greatest extent that you can.
Yeah, because if you don't start out that way and you start out in the flesh and you lost part of your day, and then even if you do get in the Spirit, now you're grieving looking at how much time you just wasted during
Amen.
The day, and it can kind of stumble you.
And we're supposed to redeem the time.
Yeah, do the best we can,
Amen, amen. Tomorrow, we're looking forward to it. We're going to go with our young brother, and we're going to go preach outside of a college sporting event. So that should be a little bit different audience. Outside their sporting events could be interesting. So we're looking forward to seeing how that's going to go. We have a brother up in Canada that's going to be preaching outside of a interesting religious political event.
Cool.
So, we're waiting to hear how that goes. It's a very, very unbiblical, heretical place, but he's looking to be on the outside, and he's going to be preaching to any seekers and preaching the gospel, warning them that the gospel they're preaching about, fighting for political freedoms and all this kind of stuff, and churchianity is not the biblical gospel. So we're looking forward to hearing from him. We're praying for him that he has strength to overcome all of that. Anything else, Drama? Do you have a scripture verse to share with us tonight?
I have Romans 11:33-36. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's
kind
awesome.
Kind of like reaches a crescendo.
All things, awesome. I just have a couple scripture verses to share. Regarding armor, I said that a brother did a teaching. You can hear that at the Ecclesian Gathering area. That Sister Alma's going to put the audios up. We have to walk with this armor on, but guess what? We can't just, throw the armor on haphazard, having not, tested it out, proved it. I read this scripture verse earlier. I want to read it again. 1 Samuel 17:39-41. I read this to the brothers and sisters early in our gathering. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Saul gave him armor to go and face Goliath, and he said, he hasn't proved them. That word proved means tested them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff and his hand, and he chose for him 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near David, and the man that bare that shield went before him. So my point in all that is, it's good to have the armor of God, it's good to have the word of God, but guess what? You got to walk in them every day so that you can prove them out. Not that they'll fail, but that you know how to do them rightly.
Right.
You know how to wield a sword. You know how to wear the helmet of salvation. You know how to have the breastplate of righteousness. You got to prove these things all out in your life. And that's by studying, by through prayer, by preaching the gospel, by walking the things of God, and have a season of time where you're actually knowing how to be a soldier of the Lord rather than staggering around to put them on and you never really use them much, if that makes sense. That makes sense,
right.
Sister Drummond?
Yeah.
You got to be well versed with these tools.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And prove them out, is what I was kind of saying. Last verse I want to leave you with, part of a verse. I love this. I hope that our audio has been edifying to you today, but I love this. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Worship the Lord, saints, in the beauty of holiness.
Yeah.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness means to be set apart for God. So we hope your life is set on that. Our website, don'tperish.com, is there to help you in that. Shoot us an email if we can ever help you. Anything else, Sister Armin? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm probably going to fall asleep thinking about worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There's a lot of depth to that. I like that.
And we have other saints to do it with.
Yeah, amen.
That's a glorious thing. So, yeah, we love you all. Check out the website. Shoot us an email if we can help you. Tomorrow, we will be back with more edification, if the Lord wills.
Amen.
And if not, as one brother said to us tonight, see you on the other side. Make sure you endure for the glory of God. So
right.
Check out don'tperish.com. We're here for you. Seek the kingdom. He's worthy.
Amen.
May God be praised.